You're listening to the We Lead Well podcast, where well-being matters. The show is brought to you in partnership with Progressive Masculinity and headteacherchat.com. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the We Lead Well podcast. I'm Vicky Maguire. I'm an education and leadership coach working with head teachers and school leaders to support them to lead well whilst taking care of their own well-being so that they can then also take care of the well-being of all of their staff. I do lots of different types of coaching, so I do one-to-one coaching with head teachers, school leaders, executive heads, group coaching and team coaching, and I've also created the Women Lead Well group coaching program, which is a fantastic program for anyone who is a female leader who might be feeling a bit lost, not sure what your next step is, feeling a bit confused, finding the juggle of being a working mom, a leader, a daughter, a wife, a partner, whatever it might be, but struggling with that juggle, then the Women Lead Well group coaching program is for you. I also created the Women Lead Well Network, which is a supportive space for female leaders in schools. And at the moment, I'm offering free membership to the Women Lead Well Network. So if you would like to join us, we've had lots of new members over the last few weeks. We would love to welcome you to the network. You can email me at vicky@weleadwell.co.uk and we will sign you right up and you can join us. This episode is sponsored by Schools UK, who provide supply cover insurance for schools. And one of the reasons why I really love Schools UK is because of the wellbeing package that they offer as part of their insurance. And this is available to all members of staff in your school, not just the teachers. And as part of the wellbeing package, amongst lots of other benefits, you can have access to a GP on the same day, which at the minute is just absolutely brilliant because we know that current times for waiting for appointments in doctor surgeries are particularly long, and I think it's even worse for people who can't get out during the day to an appointment. So sometimes teachers are not going for appointments when they should be, and for me that is just such a big concern. So if you get your supply insurance from Schools UK, you will get their wellbeing package and everybody in your school will get access to a GP on that day online, which I just think is absolutely brilliant. And if you use the code We Lead Well Podcast, you will also receive 10% off the cost of your supply cover insurance, which could be quite a big saving for you. So make sure you pop onto their website at schoolsuk.com and have a look at what they can offer you. On today's show, I have a conversation with the co-founder of not-for-profit and charity platform Superkind, Keryn Mitchell. And the aim of Superkind, and Keryn's modus operandi, I suppose, is to educate, inspire and empower children to make a difference in the world. And I think it's an absolutely fantastic organisation, when you listen to them and you find out about it, that supports our young people to recognise how important it is to help other people and how much joy and pleasure that can bring for you and how it can contribute significantly to your mental health and well-being. So I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this interview with Keryn, telling us all about Superkind and how you can get your pupils involved. So here he is. Enjoy the interview. Keryn Mitchell, welcome to the We Lead Well podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
You are very welcome. It's a pleasure. I'm really, really interested in the work that you're doing. And I think our listeners will be really interested in it as well, because I know a lot are looking for projects for their schools to do or their children to do. So can you start us off? Give us a bit of an introduction to who you are, what you do and how you've ended up running the Superkind organisation.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm the co-founder of Superkind, which is a social action and charity platform for schools. And we say, I mean, our mission is to educate, inspire and empower young people towards making a difference to causes and communities that they care about. And the way we do that really is by, equipping schools and teachers to bring social action into the classroom and to make it easy and to make it meaningful, because that's the kind of really important point. I think that often it's quite easy for schools to do social action, say by doing fundraising for one of these big days like Comic Relief or something, and maybe it can be quite transactional, and although it might raise lots of money for the cause, maybe it doesn't carry that much benefit for the children taking part. But there's a huge potential benefit from social action for young people. It's really, there's so many areas that it enriches them. And so we are helping schools kind of bring that to life, if that makes sense.
So social action is more about getting the children actually involved in doing some of that charitable work, rather than just having a non-uniform day where you bring a pound in and you put your pound in the box and wear your own clothes, as some people say.
Non-uniform.
But it's more about them actually engaging in a project.
Yeah, I mean, social action as it's kind of strictly defined is kind of service in to help others. It's kind of activity to help others. So definitely fundraising does fit into that, and it is a big part of it. But on our site, for example, we have 12 different types of social action, of which fundraising is one, but there's 11 others. It's, you know,
right,
from volunteering to protesting to donating old stuff to raising awareness about causes that children care about, all those kind of stuff. So one of the things that's really important, I think, is that we see social action as not just something that requires you to kind of dip into your pocket or sort of have resources in terms of finances, but instead it can be all about time. And most of the social action that we talk about is time related.
Right. Okay. And why do you think social action is so important for children? I mean, it's something that a lot of, you know, adults choose to engage in because they, you know, have a belief about their role in society, or it helps them to live out their values.
Yeah.
But why do you think it's important for children to be involved in that?
That's a really good question. So, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's known that the sort of neural pathways and kind of behaviors are obviously formed in early childhood. And social action is no different in that regard. So if we teach children from an early age how to be empathetic and how to have leadership and the kind of problem solving skills that come with these activities, that's stuff that's going to stay with them for a very long time. And we know from research, so we've done a lot of work with the University of Kent Philanthropy Department, which is, I think, probably the UK's leading philanthropy department, and particularly with regards to kind of charity work among young children in terms of what works best. And we know from their work, for example, that if children are engaged in meaningful social action before the age of 10, they're twice as likely to be charitable adults. So it's really important that we get to children at an early age, because it really kind of shapes their behavior. And ultimately, these are the, you know, children of today and also the adults of tomorrow, of course, you know, and we want people coming out of our schools, I think, who are educated about the big problems of the world and passionate about the things that they want to address. And I think the most important one, as far as we're concerned, is empowered. It's really important that children have a sense of agency, particularly around some of these big issues that affect them. I guess climate change is a really obvious one, because we know that there's lots of climate anxiety amongst children. And we also know that the sort of antidote to anxiety is action. And if we can teach children, oh, look, they can make a difference. It's not just a kind of hopeless cause out there. You can really make a difference. That creates a sense of empowerment that is really important for young children, both today and for them to take on with them into the world when they become adults.
I'm really interested in the phrase you use, that I suppose it's a sentence really, the antidote to anxiety is action, because it feels like this could form part of a school sort of mental health strategy as well, because I think the research shows, doesn't it, that if you engage in projects like this, it does contribute to your overall well-being and mental health.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, firstly, there's the whole kind of helper's high from kind of service to others that's quite well known. But there was a report commissioned by the Cabinet Office a few years ago, which did kind of randomized controlled trials of children engaging in social action projects. And in those trials, they showed that feelings of anxiety actually decreased by over 20% in children who'd taken part in social action projects.
Right.
So there is kind of research to back it up, as well as the kind of anecdotal, you know, what we see when children engage in this type of action.
So I'm just thinking about how important this is and also how much time it probably takes. So I'm just wondering how have schools and the schools you work with, how do they manage to fit this in what is already sort of a really squeezed, tight curriculum?
Such a good question. So the funny thing is, what we find is that most schools are already engaging in a lot of social action without realizing.
Right.
And the key for us and the key for the schools that we work with is making what they're already doing meaningful. So instead, and that can take many forms, but essentially what we've found is that instead of doing, you know, something over here in a geography lesson and doing a fundraiser here and doing a food bank collection here, and it's all a bit sort of ad hoc. When a school takes a more uniform approach to social action, ideally it's kind of part of their ethos, and they say, you know, look, we really care about helping others and our community. We are a social action school. And then they embed that across the curriculum and across the fundraising activity and the other activities that they do. It can really become a lot more meaningful when suddenly all these kind of obvious touch points that maybe they were doing anyway, or maybe, you know, to take a silly example, something like sustainability can be brought into DT lessons when maybe it wasn't being brought in before. And it's not a question of extra work because, as you say, you know, there's not enough hours in the day. It's just you know, teachers can look at things from a slightly different angle, and suddenly, oh yeah, here's a great opportunity to embed that kind of stuff. And the funny thing is that what we see, you know, often schools will say, oh no, it's just, you know, we haven't got the resources, or we haven't had the time to do this. And once we start working with them, they start using the platform, they realize, oh, actually, you know, we were doing a lot before. You know, we do have the time, and it's kind of more a strategic question.
So do you help schools to do that then? Do you help schools to go back to their sort of strategic action plan and think like where can we fit this in strategically? How does it work across the curriculum? And you've mentioned a platform there. So the support you provide, do you provide resources and a platform for them to use?
Exactly. So SuperKind is full of resources to educate children about social action. So we're mainly based around the UN Sustainable Development Goals, and we have loads of resources for each one, including lesson plans that we tie into different subjects. So that's all available for free for teachers to use. And then we also run something called the Social Impact Schools Award, which is an award that's for schools who care about social action. And it involves, they log the social actions that their students have taken. And if they achieve a certain level of social action across a year, then they get the award. And there's various other resources that come with that, including kind of monthly different types of social action, different awareness days to focus on. And it's mainly through that award and the way that that pulls the resources together that kind of gives schools direction, and kind of helps them see where social action can fit in sort of all over the place.
So can you give me some examples of specific things that schools have done?
Absolutely. So, I mean, a really nice example is that we have a sort of social action club that schools can run. So that's a 5-week course, 5 times kind of 1 hours. And some schools do that as an after-school optional club. Some schools have included that in PSHE lessons. And that leads children on a journey from learning about different causes and identifying the causes that they most care about, and what the kind of issues are, and crucially, what the solutions are. It helps them identify charities that they can support. And then it inspires them with kind of case studies of other amazing children who have done incredible things. And then it empowers them by giving them the kind of toolkit to help them choose an action that they want to take, and kind of holding their hand all the way through so that they can, you know, ultimately they deliver an action to kind of help the charity or cause that they care about. And that's a really, really rewarding journey because often, you know, we encourage teachers to ask children at the start, who is responsible and who has the power to kind of make a difference. And frequently the answers are, you know, adults, rich people. Elon Musk seems to come up a lot, David Attenborough. You know, often kids aren't saying themselves, and then they go through the course, and at the other end, when we ask them to ask the question again, children have a real sense of empowerment. It's like, oh, we, you know, we do as well. We can make a difference regardless of our background or our means. So that's really powerful. But then we have schools that just dip in, you know, dip in and out in so many different ways. And I know we're working with a school, for example, who their year eights are doing a module on global health inequality, and they're using Superkind as the resources for global health inequality, and then also using Superkind to, again, help the children choose an action at the end of term. This is the second year that they're running it, and last year it resulted in some children volunteering in a local old people's home, some children starting a new fitness club in their school, some people doing a fundraiser for a health charity. So there's a pretty wide range of ways that people use us. And we also have, just to kind of complicate things further, a fundraising platform for children, which is actually the only one in the world which can legally be used in schools. And so a lot of schools, when they do decide to do fundraising, use Superkind as the means for children to set up their own fundraisers.
Well, let's come back to that in a minute. So when you said year eights, so I was wondering whether you do the work in high schools as well as primary schools. And I was thinking back to when I worked as a deputy head, we had quite a challenging year group. There were a lot of boys who were, let's say, exuberant. Let's use that word. And I took a group of them and we engaged in a project where I split them into two groups. And they had to, it was a competition to see which group could raise the most money for Bury Hospice.
Yeah.
And then they developed their own things. They were selling ice pops and they were doing
amazing,
all sorts of other things. And then we also did collections for, there's a local homeless charity, and
amazing,
they did collections of bags and things like that. And I think that the impact from that was that year group, they were having quite a big impact on the behaviour in the year group and the attitudes in the year group. And when we did that work, they really settled down. It completely changed the year group. And we were really worried about them sort of when it was coming up to, they were year nine going into year 10 when I was working with them. And they actually really, it sounds, but some people will be listening going, yeah, whatever. But they really settled down. And when they did their GCSEs, they did, as a year group, they did much, much better than we expected them to. And I'm just wondering, what impact have you seen in the schools that you've worked with? Yeah. Is there more evidence of things like that? Because obviously that's just a one-off. But
no, not. There's research behind that. And I know that Ofsted actually did a report, I think it was in 2016, and they found a similar thing, that schools who were engaging their children in social action projects, they reported higher grades, less truancy, all sorts of kind of academic and attendance related benefits, as well as all that kind of empathy and, you know, all the other good stuff. So it is, I mean, and I think there was even another report that identifies social action as raising grades by 1.5 grades. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's lots of evidence kind of that's come together over the last few years about the power. So the examples that you give, we do see a lot. In answer to your original question, we go up to age 13. So
right.
Yeah, we're covering those first kind of couple of years of high school. I would say that, you know, it's different as the kids get a little bit older. It's great because they can be even more independent in the actions that they're choosing, delivering it.
And I would think that because you do up to age 13, once they've developed those habits and they recognise the benefits of it, I'm assuming that when the children go up in the school, they probably still want to carry on with it, even though you might not be supporting them. Before we hear more from Keren, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our partner, Head Teacher Chat. Head Teacher Chat discusses lots of topics, from how to support pupils with learning, how to support parents, and the many issues that come with leading a school. The aim of Head Teacher Chat is to support head teachers and school leaders who are in a challenging and often lonely role. They do this by offering lots of different information for schools to tap into. Head Teacher Chat is more than just a platform. It's a community, a support system, and a trusted companion in the ever-evolving journey of educational leadership. Whether you're looking for resources, community support, or expert insights, Head Teacher Chat is there for you every step of the way. To find the support you need or to join the conversation, head over to Head Teacher Chat's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn pages, or visit their website at headteacherchat.com. Head Teacher Chat, it's what head teachers are talking about. Now let's get back to the interview.
Completely. This is the sort of stuff that when they engage in and they have a positive experience, it stays with kids for life. And you know, we have all the time we hear from adults say, oh yeah, you know, I remember doing, you know, amazing social action at school. Me and all my friends, I was with someone the other day who was saying this, me and all my friends, we did so much social action at school, and now we're all so still involved with it because it was really formative. And I think that's a really common experience.
One of the things that you mentioned is sort of protesting. Sorry, there's probably someone at the door. The dog, she's on high alert. She was fast asleep here a second ago by my feet. And as soon as she hears anything, she's off. It could be quite contentious, that, can't it? And, you know, at the moment, there's all sorts of contentious stuff going on. And I'm just wondering how you go about that. Because my view is, like, the more we encourage young people to engage in social action, the more they start to stand up for other people in society, and they believe that they've got a voice and they can say something and that they can make a difference. And, like, to me, that's really, really important. But how do you go about creating that balance of, like, because I could see, like, some young people in terms of protesting and, like, understanding the right to protest and protesting for, I suppose, I don't want to say the right issues, but, like, choosing which issues you protest on, which are important to you. How do you create that balance there?
So we feel that agency and, in particular, empathy are such important building blocks of, you know, being a democratic citizen, being an active citizen. You know, the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes and empathize with them, and then, you know, have a sense of the ability to make a difference is just so, so important. And we're trying to teach children go the whole way upstream. And, you know, we go into schools and we talk about things like writing letters to people in power to change something that you want to make a difference in. And sometimes teachers say, you know, our children don't even feel that they have the right to write a letter to someone in power. You know, they're really kind of disenfranchised in that way. Yeah. And so it's really important for us that's like the first stage, that we have to educate children that, you know, you do have a voice, you can make a difference, and you do have a right to change things, particularly that are affecting your own lived experience. You know, it's a really, really important tool to teach people. So if we're equipping them with that education, that sense of their own agency, and hopefully we're educating them to properly understand some really complicated big issues, you know, we're trying to bring it in an age appropriate way so that children understand even the, you know, the nuances of it, and where the problems lie. And then we're giving them all the information, hopefully all the empowerment and all the inspiration. And if they then choose to take action kind of in a, you know, particular way, we would hope that, you know, we've helped turn them into kind of responsible citizens who are going to use that power wisely. And I think that's hopefully, you know, a better approach than, you know, some people might want to say, well, you can't let children do this or you can't let children do that. And I think so long as you've been responsible and respectful in the information that you've given them and their abilities, because, you know, realistically, children are incredibly curious and caring, and they, you know, they want to make a difference when they hear about something. You know, they're very, you know, ultimately good natured. So if we can empower them in that way, then we're kind of pretty confident that they make the right choices and deliver social action in the right ways.
It's interesting that, because One of the things that I saw regularly when I was teaching was young people who had potentially been sent out of a classroom because they got such a strong sense of justice. Like people would disagree with me on this. However, my view on it is that they've got such a strong sense of justice. You know, they see something happening in the classroom that they don't agree with, and they'll bring that up with the teacher. And then obviously that it ends up being some sort of altercation with the teacher, and they get sent out of the lesson. And my view always with those children was, I loved that. I don't know if it's wrong of me, why I struggled sometimes. But I used to say to them, you know, to have such a strong sense of justice is a really great characteristic or trait to have, because we need people in society who stick up for other people. It's just not always the right way to go about it, to have that altercation with the teacher in the middle of the classroom. And, you know, you can channel it in other ways. And it feels like for those young people who do have that sense of justice and fairness, it might be a way of empowering them and supporting them to see things differently or think about how they approach, addressing injustice.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I mean, I think that fire of fairness and equality burns in so many people, both for sticking up for other people, but also for the ability to stick up for themselves.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's just about, you know, it's giving them the right tools, because so often we see children learn about something and then they say, you know, but how can I help? But what can I do? And I think that sort of not frustration, but, you know, not knowing how to take those next steps can lead to that kind of, you know, maybe it being channeled in the wrong way. So I think, again, you know, equipping them with the knowledge and the tools to divert their kind of passion into ways that they really can make a difference is really important. And it gives, I think, a lot of children another string to their bow, especially, you know, maybe if they're not the most academically gifted, but, you know, they're great at, you know, organizing events or rallying people to a cause. You know, it can be amazing. It can teach people, it can set them up for a whole career or give them a whole new set of skills that maybe weren't otherwise appreciated.
So we have a lot of school leaders, head teachers, you know, senior leaders in schools listening to the show. How can they take the first steps towards doing something more about this and helping the children to engage in more social action in their schools?
Yeah, it's a great question. So again, I mean, I'm sure that there probably wouldn't be a head teacher listening who would say, well, we don't engage in any social action, because of course they do, but it's a question of making it meaningful. And typically meaningful really means student-led, giving students agency so that they choose the things that they care about and the, you know, how they want to respond, not telling them, okay, we're all going to raise money for this, you know, charity. So it needs to be stuff that the children care about, they're making the choices over. So, you know, we've built our whole platform around that. So I would encourage teachers to take a look at Superkind and make use of our resources and kind of take part in the award and hopefully start to weave that sense of meaningful social action where you're giving children choices at every opportunity, be that through, you know, student council or on a class level, you know, children making the decision about what they want to support and how they want to support it and how they want to learn about it. I think that's where it starts to get really powerful, and it's surprisingly easy to do.
And you talked about the we'll come back now to the, you talked about the fundraising platform. So how does that work? Is it something like GoFundMe? Is it that sort of
it's essentially like a Just Giving for children. So children can't use Just Giving until they're 13. They handle kind of privacy and GDPR and you know, pretty different way, and those kind of various issues around that. So we've developed a platform that handles GDPR and children's privacy in a completely different way, which means that children under 13 can set up their own fundraising pages. So then it can be used in schools. So what we typically see is that a school wants to raise money for, let's say, you know, recently it's been lots of poppy appeals. And then they set up a kind of central campaign page, and then individual children might do their own sponsored event or bake sale or, you know, different types of fundraiser that can connect into the class level one. And there's lots of kind of behind the scenes tools that make life really easy for teachers. And it means that all the donations are gift aided where they're eligible. There's no coins to count. There's no, you know, promised donations that don't turn up. It's all just a lot easier and it's more engaging for the children. They kind of can earn badges for different kind of fundraising achievements and all the kind of stuff that you'd expect to make it kind of fun and easy and overall therefore more meaningful for the children taking part.
So where can people find that?
Yeah, so that's on our website as well. So superkind.org is the website. And there's a section called fundraising on there. We were really happy. We won a third sector award, which is kind of the main charity awards. But the fundraising platform was chosen as the digital innovation of the year.
Wow. Well done.
Oh, thank you very much. We were really proud because it was kind of recognizing the importance of children in fundraising because they're a huge potential audience, obviously. And I think there's more of a movement towards engaging children in a way that sees them as, you know, actors and not, you know, who can make their own decisions and not just sort of telling them what to do.
And you've got so much passion for this. What is it that drives you to do this?
Well, I think it's so beneficial and it's so important for the development of children. People talk about the research that talks about a double benefit of social action. There's the benefit to the kind of community and causes. And I think that's really important because children are, you know, there's 5.5 million primary school children. Like that's a huge audience, potential group to support. And a lot of communities and charities really rely on the support of local schools. So that's kind of one hand, but then really, I think the bit that excites us is the benefit to the children taking part and all that, you know, all that empathy and agency and leadership that we've talked about. And I just really feel that educating the whole child is so important. And there's so much stuff that they learn about at school that because it's on the curriculum that is not going to stay with them for life. But this stuff is going to stay with them for life in almost all examples and is so enriching to them. So, you know, really, it is on the Ofsted framework. There's kind of active citizenship and character development, and this fits kind of directly in that. And we know that Ofsted and the Department of Education care more and more about this kind of stuff, social action and service to others. But really, you know, we want to see this front and center of the curriculum because this side of educating the whole child is just so important.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think there is, you know, there's a big well-being link, isn't there? And, you know, we want people to go into adulthood supporting local initiatives or charities or, you know, being those people who speak up for other people, don't we? I think it's also like, you know, encouraging young people to vote. Like recognizing that, you know, understanding democracy. My 21-year-old son is not interested in voting. And I think, you know, maybe he wasn't given that opportunity to think about his own. I think there's an element of learning about your social responsibilities as well, isn't there? That, you know, we don't just exist as individuals. We exist as part of a wider community.
Definitely. I think that participatory element is really important. And that's another one of the problems maybe when you just kind of fundraise for something and you don't really kind of, you know, when we are teaching children about a cause, we're not just saying charity is the answer because often it's not the answer. And there's kind of upstream questions about the welfare state and, you know, as you say, democracy and all these kind of things. And it's really important that children kind of know about those things so that then again, they can choose the right course of action that sort of resonates with them. And as you say, it really helps to turn them into active citizens, which is really important for later. And, you know, ultimately, the people we want to see coming out of our education system, the sorts of citizens that we want, are the ones who, you know, I think want to make a difference and feel that they can make a difference. I think it's really important stuff. And actually, I talked about the double benefit, but there was a recent report by the RSA and a body called the I Will Foundation that talked about a third benefit of social action, which was the benefit to the teachers. So they did a big study of teachers' attitudes towards social action. And they found that when teachers were engaging in teaching social action, it was making them more energized, more passionate about work, giving them a sense of stronger links to their community and also stronger links within the school, as the school was kind of working together in, you know, kind of cross-departmental ways. So it's all really good stuff as far as schools are concerned.
So it has an impact on teacher wellbeing as well.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's amazing. It's really a kind of win-win-win.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? So if a school leader is listening to this and thinking, right, I want some of this, I want to be involved in it, what do they need to do to...
So we have a page specifically for schools that kind of details all the ways to get involved with us. I would really recommend schools engaging in the award because it's a really great way to motivate staff and students. So we see schools, for example, like they're putting up like super kind of award jars on the wall, and then every time they take social actions, the kids are kind of putting almost like tokens in the jars and seeing the jar fill up with all the kind of good actions they've been taking and getting certificates in assembly and stuff. And although social action, you know, of course it should be intrinsically beneficial, you know, and it is, it's also really nice for kids to, I think, get recognition for the good things that they've done. So taking part in the award allows schools to kind of get access to like stickers and certificates and all that sort of stuff for the kids. And it's just a great way to make it a sort of focus goal for the school, and then they get all the kind of resources to help them achieve it. So that, I think that's a really good way to start. But also we've got all these lesson plans, we've got all these chosen charities that do a great job and are really engaging for kids, and some schools just use us to choose charities. So there's lots of ways, and I just encourage teachers and leaders to go to superkind.org and see, you know, let us kind of take them on that journey.
Well, I think it's absolutely brilliant. I almost, like, I wish I was, the parcels come to the door, and that, I don't know if you can hear the dog barking in the background again. She loves having her say on the podcast. But I think I almost want to go back and work in a school so that I could do some of this, because I just think it's absolutely brilliant, the work that you're doing. So well done. And I know you said you're really busy, but I hope you get lots more schools working with you, and that this becomes a movement, really, because it could become a social movement, couldn't it? I'm sure that's your aim.
Yeah, well, we've got a few hundred students and kind of a few hundred schools, I should say, and tens of thousands of students kind of on the site logging badges and stuff. So it's really great to see all that coming through and see the actions that are taking place kind of across schools in the country, from, you know, and all sorts of schools kind of up and down the country. So, you know, I think it is becoming kind of almost not led by Greta, but, you know, she has helped, I think, children gain a sense of their own empowerment. We've got another 50 or so children on the site as case studies who have achieved amazing, amazing things. And, you know, I think there is just a general sense growing towards children's increased empowerment. And this is a really great way that it's being manifested.
Brilliant. So can you just remind people of the website? I'm assuming you're on other social media.
Yeah, we are. So it's superkind. So super, S-U-P-E-R, and kind, KIND.org. We are on kind of all the expected socials, but it's the website that's kind of got all the resources and everything to get stuck in. So that's definitely the place to go.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
All the best in your endeavours. I hope it just goes from strength to strength.
Oh, thank you so much.
I really hope you'll all be rushing now to have a look at superkind.org's website so that you can find out more about how you can get your children involved, because for me, it just sounds absolutely fantastic. So I want to thank Karen for joining us on the show today to tell us all about something that I'd heard nothing about, but if I was still a school leader, I would definitely be getting on board with all of the things that Superkind can offer you. I think it was really important as well, some of the things that Karen said about how it can contribute to school improvement, how it can really help the well-being and mental health of your young people, and how it can actually contribute to better academic achievement. And he referred to a lot of reports, research, studies that have been conducted by some very credible organisations there in terms of how much of an impact being involved in social action and philanthropy it can have on our young people. So it's really important that we understand that. I think it's also worth being reminded that Superkind is it's designed to be light touch for teachers, and schools who take part will get access to a host of resources such as lesson plans, worksheets, assembly plans, fundraising guides, certificates. There's so much on there that you can use in terms of resources. And they are also offering an exclusive 50% discount to schools who have heard about the award through the We Lead Well podcast, which reduces the registration fee for that to just £50 plus VAT, which is just so cheap. You just simply type "We Lead Well" in the "How did you hear about us?" question in the registration form, and you'll be able to access your discount. So for more information on the award and to register, you just need to visit the website superkind.org/social-impact-schools-award, and I will put all of those details into the show notes for you. That's all we've got time for today. At the moment in England, it is beautifully sunny, it's frosty and cold, and hopefully we're going to get another couple of days of this. So I really hope that you get a chance to get outside in the fresh air, into nature, and get yourself some time to just reduce your stress levels before you go back to school next week. I really hope you've enjoyed the show, and I hope that you get chance now to get your young people involved in all sorts of social action, philanthropy and charitable events, and that they really enjoy it and that you gain a lot from it. I will talk to you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself, take care of your staff, and lead well. This episode of the We Lead Well podcast was brought to you in partnership with Progressive Masculinity and headteacherchat.com.